times and seasons. I'm going to read a quote by someone, got the name now. He said, you do not need more time. You only need less distractions. I think that's quite important. You don't need more time. You only need less distractions. Most of the time what we clog our schedules with unnecessary things. Some things are not necessary. If you work in an organization, a company, there's sometimes you take a stock and you look at the things that are not profit yielding. You take stock. You say, this one, I've just been spending time. So sometimes you have to divert your energy to what is profitable. So sometimes we're just distracted. And it says we don't need more time. You only need to lessen your distractions. Everybody faces distractions every day, but you must spot them quickly and, you know, be able to do away with them. So Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of scriptures might have hope. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. For now, all these things happened unto them for examples. That's the word model, or the word tupos in the Greek, T-U-P-O-S, which means a pattern, as examples. And they were written for admonition upon whom the end of the world had come. So we have, within these two texts, four things that are said to be the goal of the written word. First one in Romans 15 says for our learning, which is doctrine. The word there is learning, doctrine, teaching. So stories are for our teaching, not just to illustrate them, but to find doctrine in the stories. And then, so we through the patience and comfort, now I showed you that on Sunday, the word comfort there has similar root word to the word comforter, where you have the Holy Ghost being called another comforter in John 14:16, Parakletos. One is parakaleo, paraklesis, parakaleo, paraklesis, then you have parakletos, which is someone who comes to your assistance. So which means that the scriptures are meant to aid us, where we are trying to find a way out of something, the scriptures come to our assistance. Those stories are to assist us, to guide us, okay? They say we through the patience and comfort of scriptures might have a hope. The word hope there, I also showed you, is the word elpizo, or elpis. It means something to expect. So which means that I can read the scriptures to also see how God does things. And it's not just history. You can put this down. Scriptures contain a lot of repeatable history. Repeatable history. Which means you can readily look at it, and I'm going to show you some things in a moment. Repeatable history. That is, if you see something, it happens again. And maybe I should digress a bit. That's why when we saw that the coming of Jesus was not the "thus saith the Lord" moment. It wasn't the, okay, someone saw Jesus down the cross, then he spoke about it. That is by hindsight that writers of the epistles can look back and say, this has happened before. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, for example, when he died in his very 3 days and three nights, they were able to look back and say, this is according to the scriptures. And they saw that in Jonah, because he mentioned Jonah in Matthew 12. That's what it was, 39 or so. Verse 39, 38, 39, 30, and 40, where it says, I won't give you any other sign but the sign of prophet Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the earth, belly of the whale, 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And he said, the people of Nineveh shall arise in judgment against you, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. So Jesus rose from the dead and preached. Jonah did the same. So by hindsight, Jesus is, what Jesus did was just like Jonah. Now for there to be a connection between what had happened thousands of years before, or hundreds of years, it shows you that we can read the scriptures as God's plan. also how God works. So we, through the patience and the comfort of scriptures, may have hope, which means that things can be predictable. And I think during the So Great Salvation teaching, which should be out sometime this week, I explained prophecy to us. The prophecy is not exactly just about prediction. You know, no. We must learn what prophecy sounds like. So here, it says, we through the patience of and comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. Now in 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says the things happen to them as examples. Of course, the context of that was Paul was talking about carnality. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 that they were acting like mere men. And then the mere men he referenced were those in the Exodus. He says they fell. Some of them perished in the wilderness. Some of them said they tempted Christ, destroyer. They murmured, they were destroyed of destroyer in chapter 10 verse 10. See, they happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition, which means admonition there is nothesia. I showed you last week. It means to warn, to caution. And we said that caution is not legalism. That caution from God is not to make him bigger. Caution is to protect us. So when God gives you caution, it is to protect us. So on Sunday, we looked at things scriptures teach us against, murmuring, complaining, and all of that. So when we read the scriptures, we also have a pattern. We can see the pattern of how God works. So another quote about time by a man by name Carl Henry. He said, the gospel is only good news if it arrives in time. I think I like that. The gospel is only good news if it arrives in time. Okay? So which means that even the urgency to preach the gospel is very important. The urgency to preach the gospel says it must arrive in time. And there are sometimes, for example, that look at the four soils in the parable of sower. He said some had what you can call thorns, right, and thistles. Some were hard, some were the wayside. Now, let's assume that some of them is because we came rather late. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says, if our gospel be hid, is he to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, should shine on their hearts. For example, if we fail to share the gospel quickly, on time with children, then they're exposed to false teachings, heresy, false religions, straight religions. Eventually you are going to say it, but maybe if you had said it earlier. So it's good to not postpone things, you know. Told you the other day a story like that. It's good to not postpone. So the gospel is only good news if it arrives in time. So Ephesians chapter 5. And I want you to also realize that you are going to give account of your time. How you use your time. How did you use your time? How did you use your day? Brother went for the National Youth Service Corps. Then he came back. He had gone for about 1 year. So I said, what happened? He said, it was very fun. So he shared all the stories of how they went into the jungle and how they also had to march around town. I said, police give them belay. He shared with me that, shared that song. And then he said, okay, I said, fine, you're done. So it was nice. Nigeria is a big country. Oh boy, 12 months. Who got born again? Yeah, was a teacher in a secondary school. So what did you do there? You know, you're going to give account of that. You left from a local church that emphasized evangelism, reaching the lost, and you went a whole year. And eventually he said he joined the Royal Rugged, rural rugged. Well, they were royal. And he went there to join them and all that. And I said, I realize that's a good one. But you, all your 9 or 12 months, what did you do? Well, it was not so easy, you know, and all that. But you took a lot of pictures. The time you used to take pictures, what did you do? So you have those times you are going to give account. So when you have people ask you, think, what's it now? What's it? Am I not the owner of my life? No, you are not. God does. And God is giving you a preamble by asking someone to ask you. No. It's between me and God. 12 months, brother. 12 months. And there are those who went to for the same activity and have planted churches. There are those who went for the same activity. I know a brother like that who was on that same youth service call. Exercise, the whole scheme. And he went with a whole lot of... then we had these flash drives that we put all our teachings in then. And it spread across so many people. And by doing that, of course, had a lot of Bible studies. That message, or that, sorry, that material went to as many, I can't remember how many says, but by the time we're going to have a meeting, people came from over 15 to 20 states of Nigeria, I think, or more than that. They came because of one brother's initiative. But there's another person who will just go and waste the same time. So the things written aforetime are for adult learning. The things also that happen are for examples. So someone had taken the same time and done something. So, well, we're all different. No. You both have the Great Commission. And what did you do with it? So you are going to give account of that time. Ephesians chapter 5, you in church? Ephesians chapter 5, are you in church? Alright. I think they're mobilizing already. Right? So they are mobilizing you for the gospel. But some of us go and relocate for commercial purposes. That's another day. If anybody should relocate, who will not do it? I realize some are not for commercial purposes though. They are for safety, especially in Nigeria. Ephesians chapter 5 and 16. Redeeming the time, he says, because the days are evil. So we said we must learn to redeem. Redeem simply means to, last week we said it means you must show value, right? Right? To show value. Okay? How many of you have been looking at wristwatches more than before? Raise your hand. Just a few of us. You don't have a wristwatch? You know, you have to learn to read the, how many minutes am I spending here? Do you time your gist? I'm just asking, do you time? I time my gist. If I'm talking to Japan, I'm looking at my wristwatch. Okay, I still have some 5 minutes for gist here. Yeah. But if I notice that it's a subject, a topic that is in series, I'll say, you know what? Let's talk about this later on. You know, and you need to know how to look at your wristwatch a lot so that you don't waste time. After all, you do it when you're praying. So you don't exceed the 1 hour prayer chain. You don't love to exceed it. 5 minutes, 1 hour, just say, Father, I thank you. For your word is working. So why can't you look at your wristwatch during the gist? Okay? Hallelujah. I never used to look at my wristwatch when I was preaching. When I'm preaching, I just preach. Until we started paying for the time. And then they came with the bill. Said, Pastor, yeah? Said, the first time you flowed with the Holy Ghost. Second time you yielded to the Holy Ghost. The first time you entered the Holy Ghost. The first time the Holy Ghost entered you. This is your man. Because that particular venue, the moment you cross 12 o'clock, you pray for a whole day. And our flowing was just about 12:30, 12:45. You know, one, we're done. So I started looking at my research a lot. Because I was very firm with that church. But they looked at me like, you're firm with other things, but look at your time. So I started checking myself. So I'll streamline my teaching. I didn't used to look at time. In fact, back then, here for our meetings, we finished at 10:30 from 4 o'clock. God helped you. From 4 o'clock, sometimes that's a hosting situation. We are just there, whoo! 4 o'clock we're there, to 12 sometimes, 10. So we have to learn to manage the time, okay? Which is God has given us time as a gift. He says, because the days are evil, we said the word evil, poneros, sometimes means unstable. In chapter 6, it says to us something about evil again. In verse 9, be strong in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then in verse 13, take unto the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So which means that the evil day means unstable days, days that will oppose us, days that will come against God's purpose and plans that we have. So you must learn to save the time for something. So don't just save the time, then you now sleep. Use it well. Save the time. How many of you saw, if you prepared, maybe in university, you found the times you read on time. Not the one that towards the exam you're now very frequent in class. You're now attending tutorials everywhere. You now say, when did they teach us this one? This one too? 24 hours of the exam. Then you now start taking coffee. Coffee doesn't work, cola not. That's why cola, you put your leg in water. Whereas those who succeed will just be revising. And when they arrive, look at them and say, He's there. There was one guy like that in law school. What was doing tutorial? He said, when did Kelvin teach us that one? He said, he taught us. So the man that did the revision now went on and on and on. When it was done, he just stood on the chair. He said, Don't mind the guy, he's a judge today. He passed. He said, here? Odode means that zero has come. You didn't. Because here? Yeah? Yeah, just 1 week, 2 weeks. He was the same guy where there was one fire incident. Then he said, what happened? He said, fire incident in one hostel. He said, that's all. I thought the whole building burnt. He said, why? He said, so that they will postpone. The truth of the matter is that you don't need all that if after every lecture you just took your books and read them. After every lecture, you go and watch Chelsea game. After every lecture, you go and be watching Man U. When you are watching devils, why would you not have problem with time? It just says because the days are evil. Evil devil, red devils, Man United. You know, so when you wear the whole armor of God, it's against the devil in the evil day. So anybody who is identified with the devil is an opponent. I mean, this is a very clear exegesis. I think it's clear enough. I don't need to go. I mean, you guys identified as devils yourself. Red devils. They even have a color. So, you know, the truth is, you didn't need to do all of that if you had spread your activities properly and done what you ought to do at the right time. Look at us Nigerians like that. They tell us that by June 4, they would close registration for something. You don't look at it. It's January. Oh, it's June. Oh, okay. It's June. Oh, okay. They say again, February, June 4. And you have to say, that is it June or February? I say it's June. June, okay. By March, they say June 4. March. Then you go to the place, the queue is very short. Yeah. Not many people are there now. But April, till the end of May, they now say, it will not be shifted. You now say, ah, why now? Then by June 2nd, you are now calling somebody. Do you know somebody who works with you? You have a friend who works with you. You ought to have done that earlier. Late. Late registration. Your jam, it was VC's list. Late registration. Bat B. Can't you just change? And say, I break this cycle in the name of Jesus. And start to keep the time. Say, I keep the time. I don't waste time. Colossians 4:5, says, to redeem the time. We said the word is exagorazo, which means to use it like commerce. So start to value time. And let people around you know you value time. Let them know that you value time. If I'm preaching for people, I ask them, how long should I preach? Because I know it's wrong to waste people's time. How long? I can't remember when I get late to preach for someone. I remember just recently I was late for one PFN meeting. I was so pained because it was the Google map that gave us, you know, Google map sometimes, because they don't speak in Yoruba or Nigerian languages. So they can't interpret the signs the way we behave. So by the time they don't understand, you know, there's traffic, there's go slow. There's hold up. It's not the same, oh. There's traffic. There's go slow. There's hold up. And they stand still. They are not the same. They sound alike, but their original language is not the same. So by the time we got there, you know, and they were all waiting, I apologized. And I told them, I said, I've never had this experience in a very, very long time. And I'm sorry. And I didn't ask them for extra time. I just took the time. Because I've been giving. One guy called me to preach one thing. He said, you have 1 hour. Was a classmate. By a week before, he said, Shegun, I think you have just, I think he said 45 minutes. They told me the day before 30 minutes. When I got there, I think the problem was, he couldn't take back the invitation. So he had been told that if you give him more time, he will teach some things. So was reducing the time as much as that. But then I opened, the Bible says I will have been done. So he now said, he now told me I have 11 minutes. That was when I was in the service. On the pulpit, he said I had 7 minutes. Now, I wasn't challenged with that because I've had those who didn't give me minutes at all. So I learned by experience how to manage my, I said, how many minutes? So and so. If I, sometimes when I'm giving I'll tell the pastor, how many do I have? I said, well, no problem. Don't get somewhere and they'll give you 1 hour. On the pulpit, you now tell the pastor, can I get more? That's manipulation. The pastor will now say, yes. They're looking at you. Next year. Next year. So, learn to use time well. Save it. Value it. Because some don't have it anymore. Value the time. Because it says the days are evil. Now, look at the word days there. It's the word emeras. H-E-M-E-R-A-S. Both in Colossians 4:5 and Ephesians 5:16. It means sunrise to sunset or period. So, every period of your life requires a lot of discretion. Put that down. Every period, every day, every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday. Let me say this very quickly. There's nothing called free period. What you have is a wasted time. How many of you used to like free period in primary school, secondary school? Free period. But the very brilliant students will go and read. Free period, hey! Then you know, is it Tuesday free period? Then on the Monday before the Tuesday, you are pumping the ball. Health. For what purpose? Free period. Free period. You know, there was one guy like that in my secondary school. He would bring football for everybody to play. So everybody would come, he would be the one to carry, bring the ball. People would play. But he was always ahead of the class. Very good player. People now went to investigate. When they are done playing, everybody's tired. He goes to read. Reads in the middle of the night. During the holidays, he's reading. Then you now bring ball for the rest. But I told someone, I said, did he force you to play? You two should have brought your own ball for him. So you distract him at night. Use your time well, okay? So there's nothing called free period. You only made it free, and you're going to pay for it. What's your schedule like on Monday? I got nothing. Don't ever say that again. There's nothing on my schedule. Ha! There are things on my schedule, but I can make time for you. What's this conversation about? I remember one guy like that. I took to a very important Nigerian. We're going to do something. The man gave us time. And he gave us the time to come and meet him. I went there. I was at the office 1 hour before. The man who was supposed to come and do the presentation came in into the 30 minutes he gave us, I think. He came in 20 minutes into it. Our eyes were already red. And right in the meeting, there was a commissioner of Lagos State who was there. The man was not a politician, but he was a very influential. The organization was multinational, so it had to do with our business. So the commissioner was waiting. So he waited for us. As we got in, he said, okay, you have just 10 more minutes. Whew. So they asked the man to do the presentation. Now, so rap starts. I was looking at him. Presentation, no presentation. He was just talking. And he talked and talked and the man said, this is very poor. And it took us 1 whole year to get another appointment. And the reason why we got that one appointment was because you used long leg. You know what long leg is? It's a Greek word for favor. 1 whole year and 2 months. The man stopped picking calls. Someone say, is that people say they are busy? It's because you are not on their schedule. They are busy with people. But you are not part of the people. When you are relevant, people will call you. You say, I'm busy, you know. Give me 2 weeks. You need 2 weeks. Where is he? Paradise. He's here on earth. He's just not, you are not part of that schedule. Some people try to form busy, though. They say, I'm busy sleeping. So you treat time well, okay? Treat it very well. There's nothing called free period. Galatians 6:10 says, as occasion arises, when you have opportunity, the word kairos comes again, the word opportunity, it says, do good to them, to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Do good. So we must learn to use opportunity well. Look at John 9 and 4. Opportunity simply means when I can see a time, I'll use it well. Using time well. John 9. We said last week that time changes, right? John 9 and verse 4. I must walk the walks of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh, when no man can walk. Look at John 12 and verse 35. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness comes upon you. For he that walks in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. So Jesus talks to people like that. You see, you don't always have this. That means use the opportunity. Anytime you find opportunity, treat it in a precious way. To speak, to pray, to bless lives, to engage others. Next week, we're going to look at how to recover the ones that are lost, okay? I'm going to teach a bit more time next week. By God's grace. So you have to know how to use night. So that's why we went to the concept of night. Remember the concept of night? There's day and night. And it is for everybody. So you cannot afford to waste time. Use it well. You must be, let me put this like this. You must be a master of time. Not that you have times in your hands, but you must plan time. You must schedule time. You must really use it well. If you're going to make a success of any venture in life, you must use the time for it well. I'll talk about this next week. Even in the business world, commercial world, the world of innovation, everything has time. That's why people keep reinventing themselves, renovating themselves, because the things that used to be, you know, a selling point last year, they just fade away this year. But some will latch on it quickly at that time. That's the nature of the earth. Look at Genesis when the king, Pharaoh, had a dream, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of lack. You know, because he had revelation, he had Joseph. Joseph was able to save when he had plenty. Now imagine if they didn't have revelation. They would have said, whoa! And then they would have enjoyed 7 years of plenty. But look at every nation under the earth. They always have years of plenty and years of recession. But those who succeed in recession are those who had reserves, who had assets, who had things that could sustain the nation through the recession. So notice the earth always rotates around that season. Anyone who doesn't plan for it is plainly foolish. So when you have families that have sustained wealth in generations, is because they've been able to see in through those periods. You cannot deny reality. It will always happen. Day and night, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat, seed time and harvest. Genesis chapter 8 again. You must realize that and be ready. Always. It's only a fool that is not ready for such days, because it will come. Genesis chapter 8 and 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. Now I've done that explanation over and over again. Don't expect that what happened. I know we've watched over wickedness books and you go, Lord is smelling suya. No, come on. No. Anytime the concept of smell or breath is used, it takes you back to Genesis 2:7, where it says the Lord breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. I know you don't expect like a forced hay treatment or mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. No. What he's simply saying is God's spirit. So the breath of God, anytime the breath of God is used, you're referring to the spirit of God. That is why the verb here is a verb of spirit. When you say spirit, they want you, rather than say spirit, you want to say inspiration. Or the walk of the spirit, you use the word reyach, R-E-Y-A-C-H, which is from the word ruach, spirit. So he's saying here that the spirit of God, now, why do you need to use spirit of God here? Because in Genesis chapter 6, just about the time the flood of Noah came, he says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always have man. It's the same Hebrew word. My ruach shall not always abide in man. But you know that God, therefore, had made provision for that in Genesis 8:21 by saying his spirit saw man's offering, okay, which is what? The sweet smelling savour. And last time around, we said, now let me put it back again. That he breathed means, or he smelled, is like saying, Lord blew on something. To blow on something. Same thing in John 20:22. Jesus breathed and said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost." To breathe, John 3:7, the wind bloweth where he listed, the same word. And you hear the sound, you can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So if you have a better translation, it will say, and the Spirit of God moved, right? Move where? And it says, sweet savour. The word sweet savour there is Nicohac, N-I-C-H-O-A-C-H, which is from the word N-U-A-C-H. It means resting place or rest. So God's Spirit rested there on the altar. The altar there is a mini tabernacle. So God's Spirit found a place to dwell. Leviticus 26 and 31. Leviticus 26 and 31. So God is not having a sweet smell of suya. His Spirit is working there. So whenever we see offerings like that, and you see God smelled, it's the work of the Spirit. Leviticus chapters 26 and 31 has the same thing. Leviticus 26 and 31. I'll make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto dissolution. I will not smell the savour of your sweet odours. That's talking about the altars, the sanctuaries. I will not dwell there. My Spirit will not be found there. So that's the counter. The counter of Genesis 8:21, which is there will be destruction. My Spirit will not dwell there. Genesis 6:3, there will be destruction. My Spirit will not dwell there. Genesis 8:21, there will not be destruction. Why? My Spirit will dwell there. Are you here? So you have the same word Noah in Genesis 8:4, the Noah's Ark. You have it also in Genesis 10:14. But look at Numbers 11. Numbers 11. I'm going to read to you. Verse 25 to 26. And the Lord came down to a cloud and spoke to him and took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it to the 70 elders. It came to pass that when the Spirit rested, same word there in Genesis 8:21, rested upon them. Then verse 26 again. The Spirit rested upon them. The Spirit rested upon them. Deuteronomy 12:10, a place of rest. So Genesis 8:21 is to undo Genesis 6:3 to 5. Because Genesis 6:3 to 5 is about destruction. God withdrawing his Spirit, and then there is what? Destruction. Genesis 8:21, God breathed in, and there is no what? Destruction. Is it making sense? So the counter of Genesis 6:3 to 5 is Genesis 8:21. Not that Noah offers something, goes, "Oh my God, Nigerian jollof." No, that's not what's going on. It's the work of his Spirit. Genesis 8:21 now. Now, why is this very important? Because he says, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. So, now this is very vital. It means that this was not undone by the death of Jesus. This is, you know, the ground being cursed for man's sake is Genesis 3. Genesis 3 and 17. Because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for what? Your sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat all days of your life. Was this reversed on the cross or Genesis 8:21? Come on. Look at Genesis 5:29. Learning something? You learning something here? This was when Noah was going to be born. And he called his name Noah, saying, his name shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. So, watch this now. Genesis 8:21 is God's Spirit Okay? As the answer to Genesis 3:17 and Genesis 6 verse 5. Through to verse 7. I'll destroy man that I've created. Genesis 6 verse 5 to 7. Genesis 6 verse 11 through to 12. Then Genesis 8:21. He smelled the sweet smell of Sevor, which means the Spirit of God moved in a resting place. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart. Now watch this one I'm about to say. Is it because the man stopped to do wrong or sin? No. He said his imagination from his youth is evil. Neither will I smite anymore every living thing as I have done. So, the Spirit of God is the answer there. That's the answer. The Spirit is given in Genesis 8:21, and there is no more curse. There is no more destruction. That's what he's saying there. Not that God smelled suya that Noah offered or burnt offering. Okay. So he says now, so God will have to, listen now, listen well, God will have to suffer long. And for him to suffer long and be patient, it means he will have to walk with time. Patience and long suffering, key character of God, key the character of God, they deal with time. You cannot have patience without time. You cannot have long suffering without time. And long suffering and patience, they deal with contradictory times. So this is why the New Testament writer, okay, found significance in that in 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter interprets this way. 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 15. On the account that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. Now what it means is God being able to wait, being able to walk with different seasons is what? Salvation. So which means that God has now positively used seed time and harvest for salvation. We said he knows how to find riches in the darkness. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 19. By which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Let's take 20 together. 1 Peter 3, let's go. Which sometime, were what? Disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited when? While the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 80 souls, were saved by water. So, look at that. It says, God had awaited. Now, what do you wait with? With time. When you wait, are you walking with time? Huh? Yeah. When you wait, you walk with time. Are you walking with seasons? Yeah. And that's why it says, his days shall be 120. But in Genesis 8:21, 120 was reversed. Come on. Right? He said, I will no longer. So rather than have 120 years, we're going to have seed time, day, cold and heat, winter and summer. I will wait. For as long as possible. So God works with time. God does not work with time. No, he does. You can see he does. That's why he's called his long suffering. Long suffering cannot happen in 1 second. Neither can long suffering happen in eternity. Long suffering has to do with time. So, we all therefore must recognize time as a gift. The opposite of time will be destruction. Do you know that? Huh? The opposite of having time is what? Destruction. So I'll use time well. So God's Spirit will work with man in his inadequacy. In the days and seasons, the Spirit of God will walk with us. In spite of us, right? Huh? You know, we said the reason for times and seasons is man's instability. You and I, our instability. People like us, our instability. So God will walk with it. Where things don't remain constant. They don't remain constant because God has allowed it that way. Now, what will be the flip side? What is the alternative? To destroy the earth. So God had two alternatives or two options. To destroy the earth, okay, and have no one, or to allow different seasons, and within it, he will work with the time and fulfill his will. That's why in Jesus' coming, Paul was in the fullness of time, different events upon events, some will stop, then start again, some will stop, then start again, darkness, light, and all that, then he says Jesus came. And when Jesus came, there was wickedness, there was slavery, there was rebellion, the heresy, but he came. Why did he come? Because he said, my spirit found a resting place in man's worship and loyalty to me, even when that man is unstable. Is that clear? So, times and seasons are part of us until new creation. Is that clear? Until new creation in its fullness. So therefore, what are the things that are not seasonal? Okay? We said prayer, right? Huh? Praying always. Remember that? Praying how long? Always. So, watch me. In every season and time, I must what? Pray. So prayer is when it's convenient, and when it is not, convenience. Ephesians 6:18, praying always, and we saw the Greek word of that, praying without stopping. So listen guys, so if I finish praying now, and I say in Jesus' name, amen. That's prayer time. No, it's part of prayer time. Prayer time has no time, because it's always. So what do I do then? Since I know that I can have prayer time all the time, because there are times and seasons. What do I do with time? I redeem it. I redeem the time. Knowing that prayer has no season, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, praying without ceasing, be instant in prayer, praying always, but I've got work to do. I sleep, I eat, I go to work, so I have times and seasons, different activities. What do? I maximize the time. I save it. How do I save it? Does it mean I plan? Do I plan?
Yes, sir.
Do I plan? So I'll plan devotion. I'll plan praying as I drive. Come on. Praying as I do other things. I'll plan praying at night. So if I'm going to use the time I don't have, I must plan for it. Right? Because I know prayer has no season, even though I live in seasons. So I plan to pray all the time. So there's no time. So if I finish praying and say, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name, and I'm done in my prayer group meeting, or then as I leave the prayer group meeting, can I continue praying? Why? Because prayer has no season. Is that clear? So prayer has no season. Prayer is worship. Is it worship? Prayer has no season. Prayer is myself aligning with God's will and purpose. So I pray all the time. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6. In prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Last week I read to you many texts where Paul and the apostle say, I don't cease to make mention of you in my prayer. Luke 18:1, men ought to always pray and not give up. And not give up. Hallelujah. Let prayer be so spontaneous with you. To pray. To whatever season of your life, age, whatever you have now, whatever you don't have now, prayer is what? A constant. Say prayer is a constant, not a variable. Good. What else is a constant? Thanksgiving is a constant. Is there any time for Thanksgiving? We give thanks how many times? Always. Always. Praise God. It's not praise worship time. It's all the time I'm giving thanks. Learn to say praise God. So praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And do it. Just do it. Lord, I thank you. I give you praise. Thank you because your word is working. Thank you because you're a good God. So I said, what are we thanking God for now? Well, he's a good God. What are we thanking God for now? For our lives. For our salvation. Oh, I thank you. You know, sometimes you may not have something you think you can thank God for, but you know, you can look at your friends and thank God for him. There's always something to thank God for. So how do I use my time wisely? I praise God. I praise God all the time. What else? Meditating on the word of God is day and night. Day and night. Now I said day and night, you know, I told you that day and night is not morning, afternoon, evening. Day and night is what? Seasons of my life. The daytime, I'm full of the word. The nighttime, I'm full of the word. Thinking of the word. You got bad news, think on the word. Things are not going as planned. Think on the word. People are opposing you in the work of the ministry. Think on the word. People don't like you. Think on the word. Things go wrong in your marriage. Think on the word. Day and night. Because Jesus said that when it is night, you must have light, right? Paul says, we must not sleep. Not even doze. You don't sleep. Because the enemy believes that you will sleep at night. The moment something goes wrong, you just start, you say, ah, brother, I didn't see you at prayer meeting. Now, is that one is bad enough. That I say, well, I just have some things to settle, to deal with. That's bad. The worst one is you are now not praying yourself. It's been a while, you know, just fair, not sure what's going on. So I just, so to take some steps back. You are sleeping. I refuse to sleep. So we must be awake. You just keep awake. You may not know what's going on, but you know what to do. We give thanks to God. We pray. That's why I told you on Sunday, no matter what it is, murmuring is a sin. There is no reason to murmur. There's no reason to complain because we always have something to give thanks to God. We all must meditate on the word all the time. What else? Second Timothy 4 verse 2. Preach the word when you have time. Be instant in season, kairos, and also out of season, which means when there's opportunity, when there's no opportunity. What does that mean? Day and night. Those who were, Pastor, can you excuse me from preaching for next 1 month? So I have some things I'm dealing with. Yeah, dealing with you. So preach the word in season, out of season. There must be no period of your life where you're not preaching the word. Is that clear? Preach the word. So day and night are for opportunities, right? Now notice something. Jesus told us in Matthew 13, that the word of God is a seed. Now listen to this. The moment it's a seed, that means there will be what? Times and seasons. Seed time and what? Harvest. If the word of God is a seed, praise the Lord. Who got the word of God here? Let me see your hand. Come on. Got the word of God in your heart? Let me see your hand. got the word of God to preach, to leave. That means there will be times and what? Seasons. Seed time and a harvest. Genesis 1:11 says the seed is in itself, bringing forth fruit after his kind. So the question is, what are you doing with the word of God? Are you planting it? What are you planting? Are you planting the word? There are younger preachers who don't understand that. They don't know that there's a time for everything. I was sharing this with some of my friends yesterday. We were traveling and I said, a friend of mine, Pastor Doku, said something years ago. I'm sure it's 1998. And now I'm not saying this has to be done, but it had some sense. I always think about it when I'm talking to young people. He said, I believe there should be a period in the life of a young minister where the most important thing he does is to study the word, listen to it. He said, at least let him take like 2 years so that he's actually planting something. He's planting because he's going to have to go through seasons. He's planting something. So some guys, they just rush out. They sense that God wants to do something. They start to get posters, flyers. Hey, this one. Relax. Get a hold of the word first. Plants first. Plant. Put something in there. Praise the Lord. Remember when I was teaching for a Bible school, the man said, can I retain you? Another man called me, a very prominent Nigerian preacher, and he said, I want you to handle this so and so and so. It was a very good opportunity. When some of my friends said, hey, that's a good one. I said, no. Why would I want to do that? The problem was they felt our fellowship, our church was not exactly, but in comparison, look at it now. Spot the difference. A ministry all over the place and your own doesn't even have a venue. The kind of venue you use and people are saying, please hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. People are using it after you. Somebody now offers you to travel around the world. And I said, no. They felt I was stupid. But I knew that there's a seed time and harvest. Hallelujah. Because you need to know how not to be in the haste. The first time I was called to come on radio was, I think it was late 1998, 1999. And I said, no. And the man was like, this is your message. I said, no. He said, the time will come. And I'll be on it already, don't worry. And before we went on air, I ensured that I had the money. So I was sponsoring another ministry on here. Some of you have never heard it before. And I put them on TV for a year. This was in 2000 and, what year was that? 2005 or 6? Yeah. We were not on anything. And I was praying for another person. So it's not that I didn't have the money. Praise the Lord. But there are times. Is that clear? Times and seasons. So guys, we can get the money. Just look at the church members. This one works for what he told me last time. He earns £1 million. You can go on TV. No, you don't look at resources. Is this a time for? Praise the Lord. If it's time to plant, and looking for a harvest, you are going to take a harvest, you don't know how they planted it. Whatever your eyes see, so be it. The guy told me, he said, but that church, I said, I don't know how they started this church, I don't know what. He said, no, Shegu, you are too strict. You don't know what. He said, no. He said, by May 20, 1998, I'm going to go back to our old church. They thought I was mad. I said, no. Say, think about it, though. Think about it. I mean, this is a door for the gospel, you know. So it's a door. It's a door. It's not a door. It's an escape hole. You don't want to work extra. You think that staying with these people and teaching them night and day. Look at some of them, you know, they act like they're the head of a dry fish. It will just be difficult. Then they offer you one that people are ready to give you a car. Say, harvest has come. I turn it down. So don't worry, the time will come. Let's plant now. You know we are still planting? Yeah, we are. Praise the Lord. Still planting. Yeah. See, someone said, do you think we don't know how to do all this paparazzi? How people around can do it? They're all looking at me. If I give you some department, so go ahead and do a paparazzi. Or showing off the glory of God. Pastor, I have submit that one. No. Praise the Lord. There is a time to plant. The time to lay foundation. You must not defy that time. Put the word down. You just be given a cell group, house fellowship, church. Start to plant. Don't get on Instagram and see some people that they are more of studio church. Anything they are taking picture. Picture. They even take picture of the roof of a church as the glory of God. don't let those kind of things intimidate you. Is that clear? They seed time and harvest. You go plant. Everything's got his own time. But don't waste the time, okay? Don't waste the time. Told you when the COVID period came, I told myself, I don't know how long this is going to be. So I'm going to study God's word like never before. And I'm going to pray like never before. And I did. You should know what to do. Some people knew about diseases more than ever before. Acts 1:7, they say you don't know the times. Say it's not for you to know. But the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. There's times and seasons there. Chronos and Kairos. Order of things and opportunities. Order of things and opportunities. So I said, I'm going to repeat myself. How do you spot opportunity? I'll take that next week, please. Let me just stay with this one. So I'll tell you two things that must be constant in your life on an everyday level. Two things. One, meditate upon the word of God and put it first place. Because God has no time for that one. No season for that. You must do that all the time. Secondly, be led by the Spirit every time. Be led by the Spirit all the time. Be led by the Spirit all the time. And how are you led by the Spirit? Number one, the written word. Two, the inward witness. And by prophecy, revelation. Always be open to the written word guiding you, the inward witness. And prophecy. Prophecy, the Holy Spirit will speak. Your local assembly is a place like that. The things God will say to guide you. The friends who brings into your life who will guide you. Hallelujah. Times and seasons. So through every season, some things must not have seasons. We must find them in your life throughout. When you have money, when you don't, and when you do. You got a job, you lost it. You have a big contract, you no longer have it. You are in one country, you move to another one. You are younger, you are older. Whatever season of your life, you must meditate on the word all the time. So now, let's organize our time. Organize your time to study the word. Don't do it as occasion permits, because occasion will not permit. One. Two, it's not for occasions. So you must sit down when you plan a day. What do I mean by that? When you get up in the day, not like some people that you wear your wristwatch in the car, your shoe in the office. When you are planning your day, you sit back and you say, I've got 24 hours of which I've slept in 6. Try to pray in 1 of the 6 hours. Freshen up, have my bath, go to work. I know all that. So you won't stay in the bathroom and sing for long. Oh, that's a directed prophecy. You will stay in the bathroom and spend time. No matter how much you scrub your body, it will remain dirty. Are you aware of that? You still don't know? You are in bondage. You should know. So you sit there and say, then you want to buy a jacuzzi. Employee. Jack, I want to see water finally. 1 hour. People are already at the office strategizing for the day. You are saying? Now, if you have that kind of time, then you must be a constant contestant at beauty pageants. That's purpose. Nobody needs to see your skin color to give you contract. 1 hour. Bathroom. That is if you have, first of all sit on the throne. White throne judgment. Then you transit to the rivers of living water. 90 minutes. Then you now want to wear dress for whatever. That's why you always come for second service. Is that you? Then you make up. As you're making up, you get to the car, you don't forgot one particular bracelet that should match your earring. Poverty has not matched you before. You go back and say, this was... Oh! 2 hours are gone. And you're in Lagos. Where Google Map will give you gap of hold up. You're in Lagos. They say, my prayer life has been very, very rough these days. Pastor Wale, I've not been praying well. You never hear I've not been having my bath well. Why would you pray? You had 1 hour, 30 minutes at the bathroom. Then you start checking your Facebook. A man by the name of John Piper said, the time we use on Facebook and Twitter shows that we'll have no excuse before the judgment of God, that you don't have time to pray. We all have time. Some of us have phones that can tell us how many hours you used. Check it off. It's God. They tell how many hours you use on social media. Have you seen it before on your phone? That's God, though. One day I saw, I said, So I was not trying to tell myself that no, it's a mistake. No, it's a mistake. Maybe you put that plan, God, tell yourself, you reduce it. Don't tell yourself it's a mistake. Maybe the calculator, maybe it's a data error. God. You just go to hell. You are seeing truth and you are lying. Just reduce it. All those comedy skills, you know, they follow each other. The reel. Video reel. You think it's short. 3 minutes, 20. 1 hour has gone. And sometimes you rewind it because it won't be clear. Rewind it again. 1 hour has gone. By the time you are not watching the video, you are tired. You know what I'm saying? Matthew 2. The dance Kalia. Matthew 1:1. But you paid attention to skit. So you actually had time. Organize your life. Nobody should just burst into your time and say, I can't tell whether you're at home. Is that how you reduce me? I knew you were going to go nowhere. You have nothing to do with your life. Some will say, there was a time like that. I didn't have any business that was working. I used to live in Ibadan. I'll come to Lagos every day. I'll resume here 5 a.m., 6 a.m., and I'll go back. Working and learning one whole year. I knew it was a season. So people mocked me and said, just carry paper upside down. Ordinary paper. Actually, when you mock me, it doesn't affect me. Because I know that it's only empty minds that do that. So I don't know. I want to look at the value of the mocker. This one. This one. Who has one added value to? Sometimes when you don't bother, say, when a book criticizes you, there should be written of critics. Who is this person? What has he done before? Some guys will sit there in Keke Marwa. They'll be telling somebody in the car, there's how to drive. Why are you not driving? So you now be in a Rolls Royce. They say, is that how to drive? It's not paining you. You are not well. Someone has never pastor before say, a pastor should become, let's do follow up together. Saturday evening, the guy is dressing for church. Sunday, you won't see him again. You know how prayer works. The answer will come back in 2 months. The guy will just say, I need to hear the word. He's just zealous. But when you were expecting the answer did not come. The guy said, please, sir, I want you. Why are you so zealous now? But you have even lost the passion. And learning pastoring. Real time. So don't let people's criticism affect you. Who is talking? Who is this person? I'm going on social media, just be tapping. You know, because I told someone, I said, it is per second billing that builds you. It was those things per minute. You won't have this data. Because you won't be typing. And sometimes they wait till 12 midnight. Or free, or they said 50 MB. How would you have time for other people's life? So, organize your time. Did you hear me? Organize your prayer life. Don't just pray unconsciously. Be conscious. Okay? Say 3 hours. Okay? 2 hours. 1 hour. Don't say, I don't really have a time of prayer. I don't have a time of prayer. Go to work and say, I don't have a time of work. Anytime you see me, you see me. You say, you're not a consultant. We'll be billing you per hour. Organize your prayer life, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Organize it. I want you to organize time. There was a time we used to have what you call organizer. Right? Now you can do it on your phone. Organize. Have reminders. Some of you put up reminder yourself. Bam! 4:30. It's time to pray. I saw that you'll be aware of this kind of thing. You watch it go up. I've never used alarms in my life. I don't use those kind of things. Alarm, cola nut. I say I'm going to wake up. More often than not, I wake up. Because my mind will be working. But many times, I'll now hear other people. So I'm not mentioning anybody's name. They will set alarm. You'll be hearing their own alarm. The alarm will wake you up. But the alarm will not wake them up. Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Will you? Is it just that? Obey your own alarm. Tell them, I say, obey your own alarm. You put alarm for prayer. Pray. Is that clear? You put away. Some people have something to wake them up. They go, they're not being okay. What is it? You ask me to wake you up. Okay. Oh. You know, I didn't sleep well. I didn't sleep. You know, I didn't sleep very well. Oh, God, wake up. You'll not be joining a lonely Anita. Money on my mind. Which money? Second Timothy chapter 4. Organize your time, okay? And obey it. If you are not disciplined with time, you can't be disciplined with anything. Discipline with time. People, see, one of the ways you become loose in your conduct is when you can't keep time and keep your words. It will affect your conduct. You begin to live in sin lavishly. Keep your time. Keep it. If it's 4 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock. Is that clear? Let them know you two at work, that you're a stickler to time. Not to say, oh, shekun. You just say, if you want shekun to arrive by 4, tell him he's 3, oh, because he will be late. That's not good for a Christian. No. Now be rushing in, driving. Where are you rushing to? Because you did not start on time. Did you start on time? Are you there? 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. I'm talking to all of us who are pastors. We are all, everybody says coming to church is a pastor, either today or tomorrow. The word there is kairos, which means in your ministry, there will be a time your members will be bored. They will be bored. So they will look for another person. If you have never seen that before, it's going to happen. You know, just seeing the same person. They will not want to hear from somebody else. Said the time will come. They will no longer endure sound doctrine. Said they will have itching ears. They will not have teachers. Hip-hop teachers, the word in the Greek there is to go and buy. They go and buy teachers after their own laws. 2 Timothy 4:3. That time will come. Now, listen to what I'm about to say now. Paul is not prophesying, He's just a pattern. It's times and seasons in ministry. Times and seasons in ministry. I've had people like disciples before tell me, they were going right before me like this. And they said, sir, where are you going? He said, this brother is organizing a program. Will you follow us? Will you go with us? You know, and that's just a season. Now what will I do that season? I won't stop praying. I won't stop preaching. I won't stop thinking on the word and being led by the Spirit. That's not the time to be discouraged. He said, preach the word. Make full proof of your ministry. That time you think people just stop coming for fellowship is the time to deepen your roots. That's when they say you're not discouraged. You say, maybe I'm not even called to do this. Maybe I'm not called to do this. Imagine the seed. Say, maybe I'm not called to be a tree because it's in the floor, it's in the earth. No, you are. Well, you're going to spring up. If you keep watering, it's going to spring up. Is that clear? You see, say, since I cannot see anything, I can't see anything. You know, it's times and seasons. If the word of God is a seed, and Jesus in the parable of the sower says there is a time to plant, there's a time it grows, there's a time it's a harvest, there's a harvest. From the hardest moments are your growing moments. And your growing moment. If it's a business, and it was just there next week, it's the same thing. You must have an attitude of not giving up. Do something. Listen, guys, have something that is constant about you. That no matter where you are, what you are, this is constant. You won't throw it away. You won't give it up. Say the time will come, they will no longer endure sound doctrine. Hear me. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the same letter. Say, for you know that in the last days perilous times shall come. In the two texts, it uses the word kairos. Moments of opposition. It happened to Jesus. Happened to Moses. Everybody is going to face it. Sometimes the same people that acknowledge you will oppose you. So I wrote here, every generation has its own church critics. Has its own backsliders. Every generation needs its own revival. We all will need the same thing. The season will come. As a pastor, there's a season where people will just become cold in your church. It's going to happen. It's now left for you to be consistent. Is that clear? Be constant in season, out of season. Perilous times against the ministry will come. People will speak against you. It's normal. As a younger minister, I wanted to run out of ministry when I saw that. Eh? The very people that we prayed together. And God's Spirit spoke to me, this is me, not you. He said, it simply means that your strength is small. Because I was going to run away. Eh? The very people that believed in you just turned around. It happened to Jesus, happened to Moses. It happens to happen to you. In John 6, John said that they left him and he did not follow him anymore. He said, you 12, what are you doing? To whom shall we go? We've left all now. How do we go back to them? We're coming back. But to you alone have the words of eternal life. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But what must not happen is for your commitment to have times and seasons. What must not happen is for your prayer life to have times and seasons. What must not happen is that you have times you are thinking on the word of God. That must not happen. But you cannot control people's reactions towards you. You get that? You cannot control people's attitude towards you. But you know you can control your own attitude. You can choose to be consistent. You can choose to pray all the time. Your closest friends can abandon their prayer life. That's happened to me before. Your closest friends can say, well, you know, they can say you are even too extreme. You determine the course you will follow and stay constant. You do hear what I'm saying here? Times and seasons must not be for your prayer life. It will be for everything. Business opportunities. It will be for even ministry opportunities. Yeah. It will be for many other things like that. Because man is involved. Men have what they like part time. Brother Hagin said that there's a particular error that comes every 50 years. It just comes. You see it. There's me that have not even done that. I've seen some errors. It's normal. I've seen this one. So I said, how did you predict this one? I said, I've seen it before now. It's something you have seen. When you start at this level, I know where you are going to. Not for any other thing, but just experience. You've seen it before. But you must know how to weather every storm. In every weather. No matter the weather, the street hours. You know that song? Not London forever. Till I'm singing a song from scripture. We're singing it in tongues. See you. I will leave you. I'll sing the rest for you. So no matter what it is, you have that attitude. It's not shouting the word of God forever. Power of God forever. Keep quiet. Let that happen in your room. Don't make too much mouth. Power of God forever. Doctrine forever. Sound doctrine forever. Gifts of the Spirit forever. 1 year. 1 year is for effort. You know, Ephesians 6. So you must know what to do with times and seasons. Next week we're going to look at how do I recognize opportunities when I see them? And how do we recover lost grounds? Because there are sometimes you look back and tell yourself, I've actually wasted time. I was telling somebody earlier today, I said, don't waste your time. You see, when you see people that back then, I know a friend of mine said this to me, then if some people want to talk about you, I will now sit down, we'll have meetings, we'll now be talking. Hey, I used to answer them. And I said, you like wasting your time. Do you think they don't know what you're saying? They just don't like you. Why are you wasting your time? You're about to say, it's the person that is sleeping, you can wake up. You know what that tells me? Say, wake up. The one that is pretending, you are just wasting your time. Look at it. Some people don't want to hear you here. Move to the next person. Later on, these people will hear from these people. I've seen that work. Oh, waste your time. So you say on social media, arguing back and forth, arguing. We put somebody that is taking beer by the side. I know what I'm saying, though. No, 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 no. I don't believe in grace. I realize, whatever you want to do, go and believe it. If you are busy on evangelism, and you're still thinking about that guy, you know, your head, you are thinking, that guy I preached to yesterday, is he really saved? You won't have time for argument. You get to the guy's house. The guy's hiding his cigarette. There was one guy like that. I've never said this story before. I'm saying it for the first time. I taught the guy the word very well. What I first saw with him, after 2 years, Kuman Singer, that's big boy. He said, sir, I used to smoke it when I was coming to fellowship. But you know, I didn't want you to know. He was telling me. Kuman Singer. Yes, sir, you know, because I can't see anywhere in the Bible that it's a sin. You new convert, telling me what you can see in the Bible. Say, yes, sir. I said, I'm just being open with you here. That's why I don't be seeing me. Because I don't want anybody to judge me. No, I didn't preach against cigarette, though. Not that I'm preaching for it. context. Ah! And the guy was a very good guy, oh. Good Christian. I thought I was raising an apostle. So let me tell you something else. I'll share that one later on. And that day I was pained. And it was in the evening. You know, that evening won't pass. You pain you hard. Was it even like 7 o'clock? The bad part was he now left me there to talk to people. He said, later, sir. Like. I said, tomorrow. He said, I can come around. If he has time, but if I don't, can I come back? I was looking at him. Now, how can you have that one and argue on Twitter? If you go on evangelism, you argue with nobody again. These ones don't even know anything to argue about. They are not just saved. No, that's it. One guy was arguing, was saying that one pastor said his members should not listen to him. I said, how many people are in your city? He mentioned something, 1 million. This man's church, how many people are there? He said, 1,000. Take 1,000 from 2 million. 1,999,000. I said, why are you particular about that 1,000? There are still some 1,000 all over the place. Some of them are in shrines. Some of them are in beer parlor. You've not gone for those ones. It's those ones who are praying every day you are going after. You are a sheep thief. Most of those arguments are to steal sheep. That's it. Go for evangelism. Go to where Muslims are hardcore. Argue there. They say, with Jesus. Stay there. That's where you should be arguing. Not people that are already speaking in tongues. They say, is this speaking in tongues? Is it for 21st century? 21st century? The ones that will not even hear Jesus from you, sit, if you really can argue, sit with them. Somebody was saying, who are you studying, having this Bible and reading and studying, saying, do you know the context of what you are reading? Don't waste your time. Do you get it? Those unbelievers are like that. I told you before. You know, Paul said, you are our crown, you are our joy. There's our brethren. I said, you come for Jesus. Somebody has their leg. Everybody shine there. Jesus said, which one is my own? He said, take this part. Are you here? Times and seasons. They are part of our lives. There are seasons people will accept you. Seasons they won't accept you. But circumstance. All of Paul's letters are now around all over the world. Because he passed through that season. And he triumphed. Jesus moved from 12 to 70. 70 to crowd. Crowd back to the 12. No, in fact, back to none. Then to the 12. Then the whole world. Stay through the seasons. Be constant. Be consistent. No bitterness. No anger. No ill will. No vainglory. Stay through the seasons. Are you here? I'll close by saying, follow the prophecies I've gone before. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, you wage war with them. There are things that have gone before. They have indicated what the time is. Some of us like taking new prophecies. The one that you had before, what have you done with it? Use it well. So don't forget a big lesson we have learned today. Organize your time. Time unorganized will be wasted. Plan it. Plan tomorrow. Plan the next day. Some people have a big dream. I'll now do this. You want to plan a big enterprise that will last for tens of decades, but you can't organize a 24-hour day. You are fooling yourself. You cannot be disciplined for 24 hours. You are waiting for something that will be consistent for years. Discipline yourself for a day. Wake up when you said you wake up. Sleep when you said you will sleep. Study when you said you will study. Pray when you said you will pray. Call people when you said you will call them. Counsel with people. Listen to people. Someone gave me a book here in church on business. Said, Pastor, I don't know whether you have read it. I said, I have read it. In fact, I read it that day. I have to read it. How you are running a business empire? Or you want to have a business empire? You cannot read. You cannot read. You're just sitting there and say, I'm taking over. I'm taking over. Taking over. Taking. Yes, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Yeah. You can't read. First, you're looking for a quotable. When you perspire, you retire. You will be hungry for a long time. Let it read. You know, you have to work hard. Read. You read the Bible for God's wisdom and the word of God, but that's not for business. If you read the Bible for business, you will give all your profits. You will make anything. Then you compare yourself with the scripture, the poor, you always have amongst you. Nothing we came to this world with. The man who wrote it said, with these hands I have labored and ministered the needs of those who are with me. Said, we came with the world with nothing. That's a confession both for rich and poor. Work hard. I'll show you next week where Paul said, if you have the opportunity, Paul wrote it. If you have the opportunity, set yourself free from lack. Paul said it. It's by the Holy Ghost. That opportunity is in meeting people, waking up on time, reading the necessary information, stop complaining, everything is bad, including you. Is that clear? Are you following what I'm saying? My mentor used to say to me, because I used to ask him, how do you have, proofread Wallace Soyinka's books. And he was a doctor of medicine, did nuclear chemistry. I said, doctor. He said, well, knowledge is always useful. Any knowledge. So it was vast. Engage him on this one, he has some information. He's there, a professor now. I said, Some years ago, he said, we are getting a PhD, Me that just finished and said, you just expand your mind. And that man can talk sweetly. Look at him. Expand my mind. Good counsel. Guys, organize your time. This is still January. See, January has gone now. 24. Happy New Year. If you say that one, people say, Happy New what? This year is old year. It's going quickly. Redeem the time. Because the days are unstable. Stand to your feet. Pray. Lord, I receive wisdom to use time well, to organize my day.